Welcome back to Deep Thoughts.
I just spent an hour and a half fighting Apple's excuse for a company, trying to get my Final Cut to import these films. I can put about 3 on a memory stick before I have to drag them off onto the hard drive. But Apple, swear to God, it's a carcass of what it used to be. But that's not what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about a hybrid theory that I've been toying with that I am going to call God Epochs. About God, because this is exactly what we're talking about, and epoch because I need a measurement of time that might coincide with some of the history that we've seen. This is sort of a wishful thinking. What's the theory?
This is my theory.
It's not about the brontosaurus. I once was taught a very interesting thing about the stock market, and I don't even know if this is true. But that the investors of the world, yes, the scumbags that run the world, but even this makes sense for folks that aren't scumbags, that they rotate money out of a hose into sort of a pie chart of potential things to invest in. What does that mean? Well, imagine you had a pie and you had various industries, tech, heavy industry like mining and building, and or actually probably just minerals, and then you did have construction and whatever, food. Just make a whole kaleidoscope of everything that you could possibly invest in on a sector by sector basis, right? So we have one of these pies, kind of like Trivial Pursuit. And like the hour hand on your clock, the hose of money goes in a circle. And it's pretty wide spray, right? So you could be spraying 2 industries at the same time. You're ramping up funding on one and you're pulling out funding on another, and then it goes in a circle. And at first I was like, well, why would anyone do that, you know? And they said, well, because you'll never know if a business is successful if you continually dump money into it to keep it going. The sales staff will never have any motivation to sell because their salaries always get paid and there's no threat. You won't know if your product's good because no one will have to charge a competitive price for it. So you would, I don't know. You could just do all kinds of crazy stuff if someone continually pays the bill. You know what I mean? All right. So I haven't been able to shake that idea when it comes to our world. When you look at our world, it could be a couple different eventualities. For those of you who believe in God's incredible participation levels in our world, you believe in Jesus Christ and all this stuff, I think this is really aimed at your group. For those that simply believe in a creator without any man-made religion, it's probably less for you. For those of you who are atheists, this probably doesn't have a lot of value except to listen to the theory and perhaps put it in your quiver of ways it probably is not. You know, and I'll give you an example. If someone starts talking about determinism within religion, the notion that God has everything written down in a book, you know, a lot of us come to grips with the fact that that means that there's no fucking reason why we should exist. You know, if God can write it all down and calculate every possible hand of poker that could ever exist based on every single mental and physical variable, then he need not create a casino, a house, or a player. what would be the point? To see it happen? Well, now I want to see it happen. Well, why? You already know the outcome of every single game. See, it's just, I wouldn't want to fucking waste my time with that if I was him. What the hell does my little theory mean? Well, my theory is based on the theory of economics, which is to simply say, maybe God shows up every epoch. I'm just picking that because epochs, as I have researched them, you will hear people talk immediately just say they're 2,500 years. Boom. Then I hear people say, we have no actual idea how long an epoch is. Could be 2,700 years, could be 2,650. All I'm talking about is sort of a point of reference where someone might say, oh God, we're light years away from that, right? What if God shows up and really participates in the function of the world? It's not, you know, like he's sitting in your bathroom when you get there in the morning. Nah, but what if he did, you know, hold rallies? What if he did walk around, his hands come out of the sky? That'd freak the shit out of me, I'll tell you that much. But let's just say, on some level, he's participating at an interval. Perhaps it's a very short interval. Perhaps he never really shows up physically, but he participates in our minds a bit like the monolith from 2001 A Space Odyssey and imbues us with understanding, basically slips acid into all of our drinks. I bet God could make some really good acid. But then he says, okay, I can run my own show, and yes, I could play army with all of you humans down below, but I really respect the fact that life has to have its own journey. I've given you intelligence, as I understand it myself, right? People forget this old saying, you know, it takes one to know one. So, you know, it's really sort of a paradoxical thought for those of us that are sort of in between organized religion and atheism. We have just God in the center, and we're not sure how he works. We're trying to figure it out, right? We're pretty certain how some parts of the way he does his thing works, and then we're just totally confused, right? But what could you do but create something in your own image, right? How would you really, I mean, you could create lesser creatures in not in your image, but if you want to go straight up to the absolute penultimate of what you could do, I think it'd be tough to conceive of something that's far greater than yourself. Not that it can't be done, but I think it'd be tough. You know, you look at sea animals. Oh my God. The amount of diversity in sea animals is... I think someone told me once, it's something like, you know, 10 to 1 over land creatures. Because land is so brutal. You can't hide in three dimensions in land, right? So you can't have an animal floating at 1,000 feet, that doesn't have wings, but even birds get tired and have to land, right? But you can't just have creatures living in three dimensions in our above soil world. There's no ecosystem. I mean, there's no food up in, you know, 10,000 feet, right? So the reason I mention that is that God and us must have something seriously in common. You know, we are frail when we are born, yet we dominate this planet. Doesn't that make you think a little bit different about your existence? I mean, shit, a horse is born and within 30 seconds it's walking, right? I think the majority of creatures can completely exist on their own as soon as they're born. Think about little tiny turtles. Think about fish. Their parents aren't sitting around coddling them like bears do their cubs. Sure, a domesticated conversion of a wild animal such as a cat or a dog, they definitely have to take care of the litter. They're born, you know, furless and blind. And yeah, we are too, man. You know, we're really fragile. It's a wonder we made it. It sort of beckons to the notion that there is some sort of divine programming that keeps us from dying off. And I know that Darwinism folks will say, oh, that's just survival of the fittest. Okay, keep going back, keep going back, keep going back. At some point, you might have some barbaric, hairy man, if that's where you think we came from. But think about the village of these animals, whatever, our primate, if you believe in that horse shit, beginnings where they'd have to have some form of protection, some form of like camaraderie to get together. And we're going to protect other people's youngs, not just our own. Now, again, where things are peaceful, like penguins, they don't have a bunch of, you know, natural predators where they go to lay their eggs, right? So you don't have polar bears and penguins living in the same place. Boy, those polar bears, if they'd ever moved down there to the South Pole, holy shit, they would just gorge. They'd personally be responsible for the extinction of the penguin. I wonder if they could live down there. But so the idea is that there's an interesting sort of awakening going on in 2018. Now, whether or not it persists or not, we're all hoping. We're praying for the best. People don't fall back asleep again. That somehow they can't use technology to steal our consciousness or kill us off, right? Sure is a shit ton of shows on TV where everyone's getting whacked. You know, this predictive programming that everyone worries about, it's like, okay, we just finished like a 10-year run of fucking zombie shows, movies. We still have, you know, Walking Dead meandering around AMC. But Westworld, we just have a bunch. We have a bunch of shows. There was a Black Mirror season finale of season 3 where everyone dies. Not everyone, but a bunch of folks. Season 4, you had a post-apocalyptic world. It makes you wonder, you know, if we woke up enough to take them out, what happens? But it almost seems like today there's a little precedence for the notion of the good guys being in the right place at the right time over and over and over again. We'll have to finish this year to figure it out. We talk about the people that walk around and say the end of the world is coming on this show every once in a while. I think for those folks, they are elated at the notion of the end of the world. And it's really simple. It's super duper simple. One, they're ignorant enough to think that they are completely saved in the eyes of God, that they are sinless, they have followed all the fucking rules that the pedophiles wrote down for us back in the day. So they've done all that. They stand around usually accusing a bunch of people being sinners and going to hell, which sort of counterbalances their salvation. But think about it. You have $60,000 in credit card debt and you think the world's about to end because you finally picked up the Bible and you read Revelations. And you're probably coked out of your brain anyway, so there you go. It's going to end. Your bills will never be due because God's going to pay off your loan. That backache, that extra 100 pounds you're carrying on your body, won't even matter. Let's go get another piece of cake. Hell yeah, the world's about to end. Oh, really? Nice day if it did. Tuesdays. I could never quite get the hang of Tuesdays, Arthur Dent says. But what if God was coming back? And perhaps not in a visual way again. Or maybe he would, but he'd be a homeless guy walking down the street. Walk right up to you and ask you for a sandwich. Just like that song Prince wrote, what if God was one of us? And you got that choice, and you look at him, and you're like, I got money. Not for you. I don't think God plays games like that. It seems strange, right? The more of a devout Christian that you are, I would have to assume, having left that religion a long time ago, but still respecting its teachings, I don't know how my Christian friends exist in this world, right? Why aren't there, I'm just asking, I mean, you know, geez, for my devout Christian friends, how do you know about Tony Podesta, Hillary Clinton, Obama, Bill Clinton, and Jeffrey Epstein, and all these CEOs, and all these creeps that are involved in all this horrible stuff? Like, you can dispute war in your head, you could dispute sexual orientation and a bunch of other things that might have a religious connotation to it or some other counter directive. But when it comes to touching kids, where's God? All right, this gets to Stephen Fry's whole theory. Where's God? If they truly do sacrifice kids in some Eyes Wide Shut party, where's God? I heard a funny trailer to some show the other day or something where it said, the greatest trick on man is making man think that God was ever real. And the show said something like, the only one that does exist is the devil. It's like, whoa, that's fucking heavy, right? I'm going to F-bomb this one good. I don't know why I put the word God in there and now I'm saying the F-bomb. But imagine you really do believe fanatically religion, a Christian religion, let's just say. Because again, I'm in America. I don't have a lot of access to other religions. Jewish people around here, pretty few and far between. But as I deal with them, they're pretty casual. They don't get in that hell damnation thing or guilt. So, you know, I guess there is potentially like this little envelope around yourself where you feel like you have salvation as a bubble. Okay, so you're protected, right? But now you start seeing crazy spread like a virus across the continent that you live on. I don't care where the hell you live. You see modern culture come in. You see Hollywood come in. You see TV shows come in, trying to confuse your kids on every single conceivable level of everything as to what is who they are as a being, whether or not their wiener means they're a boy or not. Whether college is good, you know. I was just baited into watching Silicon Valley, the show, and I watched episode one. It's a little slow for my brain, but one of the things that's in there is a kind of a joke about a guy talking at a TED Talk telling you how and why you should not go to college. And it's a comedy, and I guess the social justice warriors are looking at this show, you know, thinking they're watching, you know, Citizen Kane or something, but the dude is right. I mean, everything that whoever wrote that, they're completely right about the serfdom that comes with college and the false promise of anything, right? So you have to educate yourself, right? But everyone's being infiltrated by this tiny minority. It's truly like a teeny tiny drop of blood that's been injected in you with the virus. And unlike a virus that gets to grow by itself, you get to put the energy into the virus to see if it's going to grow inside you. You get to feed it. You get to bring it out and put it in the light. Let it photosynthesize. Whatever it needs to grow. You really have the choice. Turn off the TV. Stop watching those films. Boycott actors that tend to always find themselves in one of those agendas. Whatever you got to do, right? So it seems like God is really giving us a tremendous amount of freedom, like pretty much infinite freedom. If any of this Lolita Island thing with Epstein and the Clinton family, potentially the Podestas, if they really did what they did, and you know he was charged 40 counts of it, Bill Clinton's got tons of pictures of him with weird younger women, some of them under 18 at times. By the way, somebody said that Trump is a big Epstein fan as well, and that's complete horseshit. The story is that he was invited one time to go to some party. Trump shows up, goes around back, and finds out that his young daughter, Epstein's young daughter, was holding this massive party with a ton of really young girls. And Trump actually was noted as saying, I would never let Ivanka do this. this is wrong. These girls are way too dolled up. And he left. But if God did come back, what would be the sign? You know, you're more kind of lowbrow individual who is just cliche, sort of 1920s or 1930s Dust Bowl hillbilly. They always come up with this hell and damnation thing. Well, fire will rain down from the sky and the dueling banjo will just fucking play all day, right? I don't know. I'm going to put all my money against such a thing. And again, we're not talking about the end game. We're not talking about God showing up for the final coup de grace. I think I'm talking about the notion that this might be a cycle that's been going on for a really long time, right? A really long time. Because it seems that the world gets a bunch of shit right, and then we get a bunch, it's like we can't get anything right. It's interesting. Art seems to show up in music and sculpture and painting, and just the way that we understand each other. We seem to be left brain and right brain at the same time, like the fully ascended Egyptians. Or even the average citizen seemed to be brilliant. I mean, think about this. The pyramids were built, we don't know how far back, but probably at least 39,000 BC, which puts it over 40,000 years ago. And then we had these peasants living in Europe, enduring a plague, living in feral states, dying because rats carried this disease. Think about every time we move somewhere and settle. It's not like we're that Star Trek, you know, where we take that Star Trek crew, we take a shuttle down, you have all your cool shit with you, right? You got a tricorder and bop, bop, bop. Boy, I just have rations and stuff. No. But it would seem that if we were ever capable of building a power generator that is a pyramid, that's built with the exact same specifications in terms of materials and overall composition, back in the Inca Aztec days, right? Their pyramids are the same thing. It has a superconductive internal rock, a very resistant, non-conductive outer rock, built on giant plateaus. You know, I don't know if the South American natives, which are not Spanish or Mexican, I don't know if they actually built them on aqua ravines or if they ran the catacomba water through their plateaus. The Egyptians did, and they were first, you know? Crazy. For those of you who might believe in a flat earth still, all right. Dome owners. People who are conducting the social experiment that is our world. For those of you who think about it as a matrix in a computer, you know, I've never said it, but I'll say if it is a computer simulation, the only thing that protects us in a computer simulation is anything that would make us call the creators of the game and complain. As long as we don't call and complain or petition, then they don't care. Do what you want. We built a game. You can grow and you can die and you can resurrect and you can grow and you can die and you can resurrect. You can make multiple characters, different classes, different races, different alliances, right? When I think about this notion of God coming back in some cycle, another thing occurs to me, which is, is there a point where man builds up this pressure, this hive mind pressure, where at some point it just pops and we're not going to take this shit anymore, just like the movie Network? And I'll give you a biological reality to this, which is the flu, influenza. As I had it taught to me back in the day, every human being on Earth carries many flu viruses, but they are inactive, non-deadly, but that when a population overpopulates and we become in more close proximity with each other and we have maybe nutritional problems with our appetites, you know, we're not capable of fighting off infections, the closer we get, the closer that the flu viruses of a particular strand see each other. And when they get too close, they activate and kill the host. You see this all the time with the bird flu. Bird flu activates when birds overpopulate, when they land in various regions in seasonal cycles. If they bump shoulders too much with each other, it activates, it kills for approximately 2 weeks, then deactivates, and the population has been reduced. As I've told, as I've had it told to me, they do not have, the flu does not have the ability to fully extinct a society. Well, think about that. Something builds, and then it pops. And it's built to reset the balance of nature. Well, all right. So that's a biological thing. Think about a mental thing. Think about a spiritual thing. The archetypes of life are everywhere, right? Those of you who study the golden mean, you know it's everywhere. It's freaking everywhere. Okay. So what if there's some sort of golden mean of consciousness where we get it to a point where as we go down into the spiral, the pressure builds, the acceleration builds, and at some point we just simply go, look, man, you had enough of this? Yeah, me too, right? It's like when Ajax was running from the baseball Furies. His buddy says, I don't think I'm going to make it. He couldn't run anymore. And Ajax says, good. I'm sick of running from these wimps. He turns around and kicks all their asses. It's great. It would seem that an ass kicking may have just been pulled out of the can here in the United States of America. We can hope that what we read is true. Certainly seems to correlate with the news if you read it right, without much interpretation either. You don't need to lie to yourself and change the meaning of words to get exactly what we're being told is happening behind the scenes. Doesn't guarantee us that the replacement crew has any, is flawless and will not make the same mistakes here and there. But I'll tell you what, I don't know. I mean, corporatism is the thing we're all worried about, right? If you ever watch Rollerball 1975 with James Caan, it is a pure simulation of what the world could be like where corporations take over the planet. But it would seem that the stuff that we are seeing in the Great Awakening of 2018 is anything but corporatism. But then again, stage two isn't here yet. Stage one isn't over. You just never know. But sovereignty and freedom and individual rights seem to be the emphasis. And if you maintain that, it will, by design, it will expose the archetypes of corporatism, which is that, you know, dangerous, shitty products are created. Marketing departments collude to make you desire something you do not need. And then you buy it. You're very soon usually bored to death of it. But you've surrendered your cash into a banking cartel, investment banking cartel, corporate cartel, and into individuals that will simply create another Lolita Island someplace else and do the stuff they're not supposed to do. Who would have ever thought that one of the byproducts of a surveillance society as kicked off by 9/11, designed to spy on us, right, would have caught just a ton of pedophiles, a ton of backstabbing politicians who sell their whole country for their own personal gain? Because that's what we're seeing. It's unbelievable. If I made an episode where I just simply tried to name all the sellouts and maybe one sentence about how they did sell out, so let's say one person's name and how they sold out, this show would be 2 hours long. So people have criminal records that are so fucking long, I could probably read them. Take me like 10 hours to even remotely explain what they did. The former president of the United States ran on a campaign of hope, which is basically, hey, we don't have to define anything that we're going to actually accomplish. You just sit there and hope, you fucking moron. Just hope. Oh, you're on food stamps now? You lost your job? We're maintaining 7 theaters of war. We're killing people, doing regime change. We're signing away all the sovereign rights of our country to some European fucking thing, right? What's fascinating about it is I think that for some folks, paying attention to especially some of the developments, and again, this could all pop in our face. Doesn't look like it. Not yet. I think it'll be fascinating even if it were to pop. Even if this were just a simulation of some sort within the simulation. It's making people think. And I think that's awesome. And that's why I think it's not fake. Because you don't want to... If you're a magician, for instance, and you have a lot of sleight of hand, and just let's say it's 1840, and nobody knows anything about sleight of hand, up-close coin work, you know, the shell games, the misdirection, all that good stuff. The last thing on fucking earth you would ever want to do is teach everyone in the world about these things and then try to do your show in Vegas. It just wouldn't work. Everyone would go, well, yeah, you're just, okay, I see you're trying to make me look this way while you're doing that. Yeah, you know, I see where you hid the coin and up your sleeve or behind that finger, and I never quite see. Your hand always looks strange because you're gripping something on the backside of the hand that I can't see. Why the hell would you do that? You wouldn't. Not even remotely would you do that. Okay. Well, that's what's happening right now, and it's being accused as being fake. Some of you know what I mean. But the idea of God coming, getting us on the right track, either to begin with or again, and it'd be interesting to parse how that would be done. That's the interesting thing. How would that work? He could gift our brains, like I said. He could walk on the earth, like I said. Maybe he could publish a full-page ad, put an infomercial on TV, whatever it is. I think a lot of us would be paralyzed with the notion that he exists and have it confirmed. But then he would leave, let's just say. He gets us all on the right page. He doesn't split hairs, right? He doesn't come in and say, oh, you know, you're at night and you and your wife are doing this or you and your husband are doing that, and you know, and anything. We'll just stop right there. But anything you can think of as some micro sin that's going on, Maybe he goes through all that rigmarole, but I think that it would probably be the most blasphemous stuff. Maybe he simply says, I'm taking a bunch of you with me, so here's the bus. Get on. So he takes all the bad people with him. What he does with them, who knows? But he knows that just removing these souls from this place that we are will allow the rest of us that can't conceive of what they did because we're good people, we just sort of naturally balance back out. Now again, in society right now, we have an issue. And I don't think anyone wants to acknowledge it. I've mentioned it once. I don't remember my last 20 episodes, but we have an epidemic of horrific stuff that's been going on planet Earth for God knows how long. Only God knows how long, right? We know it needs to stop. And it looks like it might stop. It's going to take a while. Even if the first, you know, 1,000 top agents that do this are knocked out of planet Earth. This is really talking about trafficking human beings, molesting children, selling children, any of that kind of stuff, right? Sacrifices due to religions that need to be eradicated from the planet because they're built on the destruction of mankind. All right. So say we clear off the crazy, super mega rich individuals. That creates job openings, right? That creates the battlefield promotions. Who's going to get those positions? Now, with rich people, you don't have to have a replacement for the home shopping network, Jeffrey Epstein and his pedophile island. You don't. But someone else will be rich. And it depends on how they influence their brain as to whether or not we recreate the monsters that we just labored to get rid of. How do you like the war on drugs, folks? Right? Those who say they're fighting the war on drugs are actually the operating agents of the drug importation and selling. So it's a self-protecting thing, right? We've never been able to put a dent in drug sales anywhere on the planet. We just haven't. Because that's how three-letter alphabet agencies fund themselves, right? They sell drugs for money and use that as liquid cash. It's untraceable. They will buy guns at a low price that are illegal to be given to a natural citizen, and they sell those across the border, and they get megatons of drugs that they can sell at a million times the value of the gun they just gave away. This kind of stuff happens.
All right.
But let's just say we clean all these folks out. Well, if we still have all these liberal agendas out there that individuals aren't really right in their head, and we formalize protecting being mentally insane instead of putting them in hospitals or quarantining them in their own world such that they can live a full life as they wish, but then they don't really influence anybody. They expire and that's it. Okay. Could be a pedophile. Could be a guy that thinks he's a turtle. Right? 50 years ago, if someone's kid thought they were a turtle after pre-adolescent age, they would be committed until they were brought around or until they died at some late age, happy as could be, in a mental institution. Today, it'll become a gender identification in the EU, right? Part of it is do no harm, right? And you think, well, the guy thinks he's a turtle, it's not doing anyone any harm. It's like, really? Does he hold down a job? Or does he live off of social pensions? You know, Social Security, does he live off of welfare? Because no one will fucking hire a guy who thinks he's a ninja turtle. Or whatever. Now, if the kid can take it off and he simply wears it at night, hey, no one's worried about that. Do what you want. Just don't bring sex into it and start, again, luring children with your turtle costume at night, right? But we have a situation where we have this sort of, we have taken freedom of speech and we have pushed it to the maximum extreme, which is probably a valuable exercise for us, especially if you're awake. Yeah, but the problem is like, don't you pull back every once in a while? Like, I've used an analogy on the show 100 episodes ago where, you know, when you buy a new piece of stereo equipment back in the day, or really anything, a piece of software, and you bring up a big master control thing. Back in the day, it was a bunch of knobs. And you don't know what it does. So you grab the knob. It's on zero. You're listening to music. And you turn it all the way up. And you listen to what happens. Oh, shit, that got loud. Back down. Oh, that made a really weird echo. That flanged it. I lost the radio station I liked. Get it back on that radio station. Okay. I'm harping on the biggest problem I think that we have outside of our money system being completely messed up. But the money system is a very calculated thing with a very calculated left brain fix ready to go, right? Some form of the blockchain, some form of some virtual currency could be put in place. We could base it on precious metals, blah, blah, blah. But the thing that's not cut and dry is our mental attitude towards each other. Our mental attitude towards being an adult and being a child. What you do as an adult with adults and what you do as a child with children. And then this cross-pollinated realm where you're a father, you're a mother, and you have children. You're an uncle, you're an aunt, you have nephews and nieces. You're single and you have neighbors' kids that you protect. And then there's the weirdies, the fraction of a percent of the people on this planet who mix adult behaviors with children behaviors. That needs to perish. That process needs to stop. whatever's infecting the mind of an individual to get them to that level has got to be neutralized. Well, again, it's like all these topics we talk about on this show. Nobody sits around talking about this, really, other than to say, I don't get it, man. If you're normal, you're just like completely fucking mystified. How does this happen? Right? You know, we used to think that there was a sector of society, especially if you study the Catholic Church, that is more prone to do this to children. That may actually still be true. But boy, I've got plenty of stories in my own personal friends' circles where they've had problems with people that were just as, on the outside, just as normal as anyone. They're married to the opposite sex and da 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 da. So I'm not sure there's any one group of people that's more prone to do this. And I am by no means remotely an expert of any kind. Expert would be 3 or 4 times higher than what I am, right? I'm just an observer just like you. But I will tell you that, you know, as an artist who has to do plenty of research online, so what happens if you're an artist, and this will, a lot of you will have this experience, you're hired to create some artwork, and you'll go on Google, and you'll search, and you click images. As soon as you do that, no matter how much security you have on or safe filtering you have on, stuff slips through. And you're like, holy shit, when did we get to this level, right? You will search on something completely benign, and you will find unbelievable extremes of human interaction, physically, sex, right? All of us have seen porn, usually. If you haven't, then you're the winner. Seriously. I've had my whole run of that crap as a young man. I've talked about it from time to time. But we have websites out there that have no protection. You can be a 8-year-old kid and accidentally type in a URL or intentionally type in a URL or a search algorithm, and you can find stuff. So many websites out there bait and switch safe content to really intense content. And the child, in some cases, will run into these sites that are like, hey, I got some fun videos for you here. Click over here. And then you have the gateway link. It's kind of soft porn. And then that soft porn site has the super hardcore crazy shit. And then off that is like all your snuff films or people getting their heads cut off, right? There's no protection. Right. One of the executive orders that the President of the United States just signed in December of last year has resulted in the closing of several sort of dating sites where people find each other, because they're holding these sites responsible for what happens to the people who use the service. So Craigslist, for instance, used to have some dating thing on there, and they would connect people. Well, we've had dozens and dozens of kids get murdered and killed and disappear. We have plenty of open, unsolved mysteries in the United States of America due to Craigslist. Because they baited people, baited little kids, you know, that were like, oh, you don't like your mommy and daddy, don't you? Well, yeah, you know what? What if I sent you a plane ticket or I guess it's usually a bus ticket, right? Because you don't have to have any ID. These kids go off and disappear, right? I'll meet you at the Burger King. So that's progress. That's progress. As much as it sucks that we have the fucking weirdos that mess it up for everyone, let me throw you another one. How many of you get spam, right? Yeah, there's a big war on spam, kinda. But I guarantee you, they could ban domains and ban IPs. And they do. They do this, but they could do a hell of a lot better job. Right? But what happens? As soon as you sign up for free email from someone, they sell your email to someone. They read all your email. They sell your friends' email list. So you're like, hey man, I don't want to be on any spam list. I don't want to be associated with any political bullshit or sex bullshit. But you have that one friend you meet at a party and they're a business person. They have a legitimate business you want to be involved in. But they also have a Gmail, or they mail their girlfriend, like some Anthony Weiner dude. And he's sending pedophile pictures off, or sending pictures of himself to a minor, right? And through 2 degrees of separation, your email is now in the batch. Imagine getting indicted and having to show up in court simply because you did a business transaction with someone. This is where we are today, right? Why not an executive order that says if a website tries to put a virus on your phone, it's illegal? The reason why I'm doing this digression is very specific, and it is this. We're going to have to start looking at the systemic causes of this stuff, because God may not show up 100%, but maybe God is inspiring thoughts like this anyway. And just saying, look, I give you the complete domain to do whatever you want to do, don't I? You could swerve your car into traffic, oncoming traffic, and kill a whole family of five. You could. You could be that asshole or that fucking crazy person. I allow you to do that. But you don't, do you? Imagine being someone who, and again, a lot of these people are godless. It's fine. But imagine never meeting your creator and you're standing up for, I don't know, freedom of speech in the realm of sex online. You don't want to have anyone stop a porn site from existing because, hey man, you know, it's like, hey, I have a problem meeting other people, so I need this stuff. And I don't have to click through an age verification thing. You're telling that to God. Just imagine that. That's just the funniest thing. Or some supreme being that's like, I am making human beings to prosper. I'm not making human beings so that you can sacrifice them. And any metaphor of the meaning of sacrificing them doesn't have to be some huge devil-worshipping thing. But, you know, you get your kids strung out on a bunch of fatty foods and you don't do anything as a parent because you're fat and you're like, I have a whole family of fatness and it makes me feel like I'm in a club and I don't have to look in the mirror and feel bad because my kids are fat too. But then your kid dies at like 25 of some goddamn heart attack and you cry like someone else did it other than yourself. You did it, you know, not us, but you know, whatever. We have to take responsibility, okay? The other reason I bring this up is even if God came back, and it's not the end of times, he's not taking all the souls somewhere because they're already there, right? As soon as you die, your soul takes off, man. You're not sitting in some goddamn grave waiting for fucking judgment day. What a load of bullshit, right? How many people existed before that stupid theory came around? What happened to them? Well, I got an excuse for that too. All right, whatever. But here's the thing. What if talking to God is nothing more than a beautiful rhetorical conversation of responsibility? He asks you no question that you don't already know the answer to. Except these questions have a lot more impact on your relationship with him. Man, universe, whatever. God. That's what I call them. They simply says, look, did you not know that children could find this content? Well, yeah. What was your opinion about that? Does a First Amendment right make it okay for you to fuck with my perfect creation? Well, no. Then why did you allow it to continue? Well, I tried to keep my children away. Well, what did you actually do? Does it have to be your child for you to care? Well, you know, freedom man, and he knows right at that moment, at all times, that you know you fucked up, you looked the other way. Maybe you perverted yourself. And hey, we're all flawed in some way, shape, or form. When and if a great awakening were to occur, and whether or not it has anything to do with a celestial being, I think that we should probably check ourselves to simply say, have we exhausted all of what we know about right and wrong? You know, when you look at wars, do you write a blank check? Well, wars are good as long as my preacher tells me they're good. I used to visit a church in Hermosa Beach. And again, I said this probably 100 episodes ago, but the idea was that I'd read the pamphlet when I went in. And it would have these nice, you know, prayers that you could say for folks in the church that were dealing with something, illness, loss of life or something. And that was beautiful. I thought, you know, we do need to put our minds around this and send them our love and all that good stuff. But then there would, you'd flip over and it would start justifying wars going on, all in the sense of religion. All of it. Either we're protecting the Israelites or we're protecting Christians being persecuted in the world. And it was sort of a backhanded prayer to say, kill those other people. Right? Imagine God coming in, sitting down, grabbing the pamphlet, looking the preacher in the face, and he just goes, who wrote this? Who approved this? Why was this sent in my house? Right? I think a lot of us would love to see God go visit his houses all around the world and do a little reckoning, right? I don't think we're doing much. I should say prior to this awakening, I don't think we have done much to take care of the world, to do what we know is right versus wrong. And that's a very dangerous thing, I know, right? Here I am almost ironically repeating the virus, which is, you know, inquisitions and crusades were all based on one group thinking they had it all figured out. They run around killing. Yeah, I'm not talking about any violent activity at all. I'm talking about one, making a personal choice, starting with a man in the mirror, as Michael Jackson would say, and trying to say, okay, if I don't pollute my mind with this content, I change as a human being. Like I keep going on and on. If you turn off your TV, your world becomes amazing. And Steve Jobs always refused to have a television in his house for a long time before he got married, married the first time, and finally had his family. He didn't have a sofa because he said, what do you do on a sofa? You sit and you do nothing. I think that's brilliant. Okay. So you start with yourself. You hopefully get your words all smithed out such that you can communicate the value of what you've done for yourself, especially if anyone admires the quality of your life. You say, well, you know what's strange? I'm not trying to preach at you or anything, but I am going to preach what I do to the world. And if you think that's good, then you listen. This is what I do. I don't do this, that, and this. I don't personally own a sofa. Me, right? But now think about, you know, an organization shutting down a dating site. In fact, there was another dating site that I never heard of. It was like, all this is national news, you know, or a site was seized by the FBI and its advertisers were seized by the FBI. Now imagine all of the negativity in the world that was simply removed by those gestures. And that's pretty militant. That's pretty intense. It'd be nice if we could just simply behave and go, you know what, you know, I'm going to make this website for adults and it's going to have some sort of front door. And so perversion at least has to be vetted strictly to adults. Now, it doesn't mean the perversion can't continue. But if we have a chance to reset, how do we not fuck it up again, right? Let's say God comes down. This is the age of Aquarius, right? Isn't that the next epoch? It goes from Pisces to Aquarius, something like that. And he resets it. And then he leaves, and it takes a couple generations, 60 years or so, and it starts going into fables that he really was here. Was he really here? And we start forgetting maybe that that's where we got the information. Maybe that's how he works. But maybe not. But the next generation goes, yeah, you know, God was here, I guess, you know, whatever. Yeah, we went to the moon once, whatever, yeah, you know. Growing up in the Midwest, you know, you have these gigantic families that were very close to each other, and there's a bunch of them still there. So they're super close to each other, and they don't have all this rebellious bullshit. But as the more you get to the city slicker realm of the world, you have all this rebellion. In the Midwest, you will have white trash families that binge watch city slicker stuff, right? It's pimps and hoes and whatever. You know, it's funny, when I went to the Midwest this year, the amount of white guys trying to be bangers and other cultures all trying to be bangers, all trying to be hard, all trying to pretend like they live in LA. There were this caricature of Los Angeles, when Los Angeles had this little flash in the pan of about a decade of super crazy behavior. Hey man, East LA has calmed down. South Central has calmed down. It has. But it's being kept alive by this infection of the mind. But it's hard to correct it, right? We know that there's a lot of touch points for influence in society. You have, one of the funny ones is that you have women today that are really trying to date safe and marry safe. Everything's safe, safe, safe. And, you know, after about 20 years of that crap, they're like, who are you? Like, why did I marry you? I don't get it. Yeah, maybe I'm comfortable, whatever, but Jesus, I'm fucking dying every second I'm alive. And then you have the girl that likes the bad boy, right? That almost never pans out. Ever, ever pans out. They usually die barren of any children, and or if they do, they got 15, you know, baby daddies, and life just sucks. And the funny thing is, or the ironic thing is that those that go back to the 1950s sort of nucleus or nuclear family, I should say, you got a mom and dad and you got some kids, got the boy, got the girl, whatever, doesn't matter what the combination is. And you sort of loved each other and behaved and respected each other. And you were communicating with your children so they didn't run off and become these little bastards. They didn't have this super rejection phase of their life where they hate their parents. I mean, today is in the big city, it's almost a common standard that a kid around 13, 14 starts lipping off to their parents in ways that would get your ass beaten. I mean, you know, not drunk parent, bloody beating, but just, you get a, you know, you definitely get a talking to or you get your ass smacked one way or the other and you get back into line, right? But usually that didn't have to happen in the Midwest, right? Where I came from, people just behaved. Oh my God, what a goddamn amazing thing, right? The thing is this, what I'm trying to get at is, I think it'll be embarrassing, regardless of what you believe in a religious realm. Again, atheists probably stopped listening already, but if you're still paying attention, I'm sure you're laughing your head off. But the idea is, if God were to ever come back, in any way, shape, or form, we have a choice of how we meet him. We meet him with our heads hung low and our tail between our legs, knowing that we didn't do anything to make the world better, even though we knew exactly how to do it. Does that mean run off and kill people that do bad things? No. Okay. Fix yourself, influence your friends and family with a nice example of who you are. Perhaps lobby for control over things that are systemic to all the problems that we have. Just bring up the conversation. I have brought up to my closest male friends this notion of, you guys have all seen a porn site, right? Yeah. And we're watching YouTube right now. We're all happy about all these pedophiles getting nailed, right? Right. And we don't like that, right? Right. Even a bunch of guys don't have kids, right? Either they're too young or they haven't had them yet or whatever. And then I look at them and I say, okay, we get rid of all these guys. Now what? Aren't all the porn sites wide open? Don't we have movie after movie after movie glorifying war? Like I said in season one, I have a friend that went to war to get his kill count from a video game to be real. He struggles every single day with the fact that he did kill people now, but he was influenced by a video game to run off and do that. I've got episodes where I talked about how the military infiltrated the video game business to make this happen, how I met a woman from some secret base in England who sent me a 136-page questionnaire about how do we get kids to lust for war within video games. Like, what? Really? By the way, I have searched for that email, and I've got all the emails from that era, and either I don't know how to find it, or I can't find it. It's really interesting. My suggestion is to meet your maker as a pioneer of what your maker would want the world to be. And again, it's not going to probably be through means of some militant action. it's going to be, well, I here's the way I'll put it to you. I think that if you try to accomplish it through some mental tactic, again, self, family, work, world, whatever order you want to do it in, you know, you're going to have epiphanies that help you in different realms, right? You will have so much success in doing this that there won't need to be anything violent that occurs. You know, we can't control what they might try to do to us if we start shutting down their party. Sure, maybe they try something militant against us and then we're simply defending ourselves. But I think that if the internet has proven one thing, it is that just simply communicating is enough to really affect any change that we think might need to happen. If you're utterly and completely, or you know people that are utterly and completely addicted to the things that I've mentioned, and you feel like you have control, like, I don't like kids. I like older women or older men or whatever. Okay, all right. Maybe you have no risk of turning into one of these individuals, but perhaps what you could do is simply say, but you're right, you know, I don't want my nephew or niece to ever find this stuff, or someone else. I love children. I wouldn't want any kid to find this until they're mature enough to take care of it. Why do we have legal limits for drinking alcohol, legal limits for smoking tobacco, right? Legal limits for voting? Because there's a certain level of maturity that will help you determine how far to take it, whether or not you should get into it. And, you know, I think that in the end, every single thing that you want as a regimen in life should come with some sort of explanation. Well, why would I want to vote? Well, because if you don't, this is what can happen. Special interest groups, they can just overwhelm the voting booths with their special interest people, and then you find yourself living in some dystopian, you know, Orwellian universe. Oh, okay, that makes sense, yeah. So it's important that you understand that if it says Patriot Act, it's probably, without, you know, getting rid of the corrupt politicians, it's probably anything other than patriotic. If it says net neutrality, it's anything other than net neutrality, right? They always name things nefariously in the opposite symbolism of what they are. Perhaps that'll change, right? But does anyone ever explain the ramifications of binge drinking on your first beer? What cocaine can do on your first line? What perhaps obsessing on porn can do to you? I was pretty free to listen to everyone who talked to me. I was always fairly inquisitive, as you might imagine, with my friends, and I don't remember anyone telling me anything. It was always, oh, we get to do this. What is this? Oh, the thing that we're forbidden from doing. Oh, okay. I think one of the most endearing things that occurs in my life is in the rare situations, because it'll happen, where, say, for instance, porn is mentioned in a conversation, and there's a female in the room, or I'm talking to a female in some way, shape, or form. They're mentioning it because they've dealt with problems of it or something like that with boyfriends or whatever, and they don't have any experience with it. Or, you know, we know people lie, but you can tell certain people just absolutely turn purple with the slightest, you know, mention of the subject. You're like, yeah, that person actually doesn't have any experience with that. How awesome, you know? Meeting a kid who doesn't lose their virginity at 12, you know, that's nice. It's like, oh, you waited till you found someone you really liked and you were over 18. Unbelievable. I'm not judging. It's just nice that people do wait every once in a while now. I kind of feel like that's starting to happen. And again, I'm not saying one thing is right or wrong. I started way too early, as I will either mention in an episode that's coming up, or I've already mentioned an episode that's been released. There are ramifications for everything. But we hardly ever tell each other about that stuff, do we? And I think that one thing that drives this whole thing is that if you don't have a love in your life that is productive, you're dangerous, right? I kept myself busy as a kid with art and music and computer programming, and I was always creating, creating, creating. By the time I turned 17, graduated high school, I was in California by myself in my car on a crazy adventure. I was doing things with grownups and it was fun and they were fun. And, you know, so what do you do if you're a bored child that is looking into a telephone 24/7, 24/7, 20, and your fucking parents are like, here's your phone, Jimmy. And they take all these goddamn snapshots of their kid looking at a phone and put them on social media. Isn't that funny? That old thing, my kid's so smart, they could figure out an iPad. Oh, really? Really? Was that like a, was like a Mensa Society admission test? No, that was like brain dead shit. You gave your kid a brain dead device with a brain dead app on it. Yeah, yeah, your kid knows how to click fruit and be a fruit ninja. Wow, Jesus. Aerospace industry, here we come, right? In 5 years, they're like, you never get off your phone. Pay attention to your mother when she's talking to you. It's like, well, Dad, Mom, you gave this to me, right? In fact, you set the expectation that I get, I don't know, $400 to $1,000 devices every 2 years, because that's what I'm entitled to. Plus, you pay the subscription fee for my cell phone. You pay my PlayStation or Xbox subscription. You buy the Xbox. You buy all my games that are $80 a piece. It sucked, but I always tell you how much that game sucked. You just gave away $80. Very lucky I didn't go through this personally with my kid or with myself in any significant way. But it happens, right? It would seem that we have been left alone to fuck up this planet pretty bad. It would seem that a lot of folks are sick and tired of this shit. What can we do? Can we do something personally to make things better? Obviously, the answer is yes. We can do a bunch of stuff. But now let's, just in closing here, let's put this into some cool scenario. Right, not cool scenario, cool scenario. Have you ever had anyone come into a room that was just full of wisdom and they had, like, you were bored to death? It was an uncle, it was a neighbor, it was somebody, maybe you met a rock star, whatever the hell you dig, and they came in and they just maybe had a couple things with them. They looked good. And for whatever reason, the moment was captivating and it changed your entire opinion about everything. It was easy, it was comfortable, and it changed your life. That's what we have to figure out how to do with others, is to simply say, hey kids, are you bored? And they're like, hell yeah, we're bored. Well, how'd you like to do something really, really cool? Something that'll become a permanent part of your character, of your vocational skills. And hey, you can take it as far as you want to take it. And the way you take it is way different than I'm going to take it, or I have taken it, right? Again, the arts are a beautiful place to start. It preoccupies you, but any skill on earth, anything they can get into. I know a bunch of you that have kids that you know of where they never read a book in their life. They picked up Harry Potter or whatever, and they just started binge reading. And you're like, oh my God. And you, after a while, you know, for a first maybe five books, you're like, what are you reading? What are you reading? My kid did this. My God, she devoured hundreds of books, big ass, thick ass books, right? It was, it's my policy with her, as I said, look, as long as you finish the book, I'll go get you the hardback. We'll go to Barnes and Noble. I'll give you a budget. And you, if you can get 50 books for whatever amount of money I'm going to give you, honestly, to myself, I said, there's no limit. Just read the books. And, you know, we'd limit it. She would kind of self-regulate down to about five books. But she would just mow through them. And I'd ask her the endings and the middles and the beginnings, and she knew them. It's great. Kept her away from crap. We have to reinvent society. Remember, the theme of the show is to rebuild society. From the bottom up. If what I think is occurring in 2018 that is very black and white is actually occurring, then for me, it feels like this is probably one of the most exciting times to be alive ever. Ever. This is like potentially history book level stuff, as long as we don't get cock blocked by the idiots that do the things that they do. And because of all of this cascading, compounding positivity, still needs to become an eventuality in a lot of cases, but it looks like it's going in that direction here. It feels godly. And that's what's inspired this whole notion in my brain of like, didn't it just go downhill in the United States of America? You know, the Skull and Bones arrive in the 1830s. We fight a good fight, but then we lose in 1913. They take three or four decades to take over. They give us horrible decade after decade after decade. But we have a couple little moments where we pop out. There's a baby boomer thing. Then we get into the Korean War. And we go into the nuclear era. We go into Vietnam. We pop out. We have a good 15 years. But then it just gets attacked by all these social programs and social programming in all kinds of shows on television and movies and culture and music, right? And we've just had enough, right? There's only so many decades we can eat shitty food and continue doing it. We want to change. And the trend is be healthy, be smart, love each other, and figure out how to pull all those things off, right? Protect the innocent. It's probably one of the biggest ones. People are becoming more spiritual now than they ever have. And I don't just mean the kooks that walk around trying to upstage everyone in the room with their previous life experience, you know. And there's people who do that. People who mention their previous life experiences that they believe they've had one that don't do that. But there are people that just don't want to listen to anyone else. And those are the scumbags we got to just go, you know, whatever. You're not invited to the next party. And by the way, pack your shit and go. Go find your fucking other psychic friends who want to listen to you. Only your story in life, right? Had a friend bring me a really funny story by going to a retreat, and a woman was there, and it's all ladies, and they, everyone was really cool, and they're all varying ages. I mean, it was like from like the early 20s all the way almost to 80 years old. And one crunchy woman was in there, and every time she talked, it was apparent that she wasn't listening to anyone else's story. She would just, there was a character that Kristen Wiig played on Saturday Night Live where she was always topping everyone. She'd circle her hair and she'd talk in questions like this. And the likeness was of that type of attitude. And I've had, you know, acquaintances of my own that I have met that are very much like that. Boy, they got, their life is completely fucked up. I mean, calling me, bawling their fucking brains out on the phone, but they had no humility and always would tell me how to live my life. I'm sitting there going, wait a minute, you can't manage your life for 5 minutes without crying and doing drugs, but you're gonna lecture me about my life, which is pretty fucking amazing, pretty great right now. Give me a break. That's the kind of stuff that we've allowed to manifest through all this sort of, pussifying our entire planet. There's some video right now that's been promoted on YouTube for, I don't know, 3 or 4 days about crying, you know, and it's not, hey, a good cry is a good cry. Man, I've had some fucking amazing cries I've talked about on the show. Reuniting with old girlfriends where we're not going to get back together or anything, but there were unresolved issues and all I needed to do, I was holding a 20-year cry and I bawled my brains out and I felt awesome and it went away. Yeah, sure, there's a place for crying. Sure, absolutely. I don't cry. So that was huge for me, right? But they're trying to cultivate this. You should cry all the time and you should extort out of your fucking family all of this aid because you just can't get your life together. Right? You never nut up and become an adult. There's no mother of invention to solve any of your fucking problems. It's just burden, burden, burden. It's just like where you walk, all life dies behind you, right? We have got to fucking get rid of this, right? And you can't get rid of it by telling someone, knock it off necessarily. My family, it works. But if you go, well, why don't we just take a break from all that, you know, that pity party you got going on, and let's go over here. And you know, you like to do that one little thing when you're crying, you know, you make things out of your tears. Well, you don't have to use your tears. We can actually use, you know, something else over here, and you can actually make something productive with your life. Be in control. Distract yourself. It's positive, right? When you do that, you feel positive. Okay, great. Well, how about you fill your life with a bunch of positivity? You know, again, I mentioned just recently in an episode about going to boot camp, and it's like, that's where you do it. That's where little boys show up to become men. And whether or not they're brainwashed or not at the end, they certainly know how to behave if they don't drop out. You know, I would imagine that the dropout rate in the military in boot camp is a lot higher than it used to be, but maybe that's wrong. I don't know. Hope not. Our young men and women enjoy a little bit of structure in their life. Hopefully don't send them off for stupid wars and get them hurt, inject them with crazy shit. But you shouldn't have to go join the military to get such training, right? Your parents should nut up and get in there and make it happen. You know, our parents aren't our best friends. They're our parents. You only get one set of both. Friends will come and go. BFFs will come and go. If you're a mom, you're way better than a best friend. If you're a father, you're way better than a best friend, right? You just are. A brother, a sister, you know? But if all you can be is a best friend, well, a lot of us call our best friends our brothers and our sisters, right? Anyway, I bounced around this one for quite a while. I know it was pretty jumbled. Hopefully you saw the connections between things. It's a touchy subject to tell someone to nut up. It's really touchy. How dare you? How dare you tell me to nut up? Take responsibility for myself. We've got a politician that says that you'll pay my rent. I think I like that plan a lot better, they say. I think that's coming to an end, folks. Let me know what you think in the comments. If you haven't been already, go to deepthoughtsradio.com. That's the source for all things Deep Thoughts. There's an audio podcast on there. There's the video. There's a locked Facebook group, and there's a Patreon page. I've had a few of you ask me for t-shirts, and of course, this is going in a video, so this will come and go in terms of its availability, but I've been thinking about some for a long time. Some of them are redos, different phraseology on ones I have seen. So I put a couple out there. I'm probably going to link them from the website so you guys can get them. Yeah, there's a profit involved, but honestly, it's just a matter of I think I would like this for myself. I took the suggested retail price that they gave me, and I reduced it quite a few dollars for the quality of shirt that's there. So it's not a huge, huge cash cow or anything like that, but I thought it'd be cool. Again, I want to upgrade to a 4K camera. I think that'd be cool. There's just a lot of low-light stuff we can do and neat things that might come out of that. But anyway, take care of yourself and someone else, and I'll see you in the next Deep Thoughts. Over now. We'll be right back.